I'm Tom Topping, and welcome to the KYRS Local News Weekly Recap Show. Christian Adams is off this week. Today we have several reports we think you enjoy. We also have two candidates for the Spokane Valley Fire Commission live in the studio, and that'll be coming up in the second half of our show.
To get things started, we'll learn something. Spokane Reforest?
Yeah, that was your piece of Spokane Reforest.
I'm sorry, I'm reading the exact thing here, but we'll start with learning a little bit about the piece I wrote about Spokane Reforest Day. Tom also has two reports this week. The first about an educational event put on by an indigenous cultural group called, help me out here,
Danza Machica.
Thank you. The second is about what progressive organizations are saying about Spokane Memorial candidate Nadine Woodward.
That's mayoral candidate Nadine Woodward.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. First off is a report from Christian Adams about the possible effects of changing start times for primary through high schools.
Yeah, it's a recurring debate that has important consequences for school-age children and their education. Here's his report.
Health professionals across the country have been advocating for later school start times. The argument is it would improve students' performance due to their increased sleep needs. A law just signed in California has mandated that high school start no earlier than 8:30 a.m. within the state. There's been no such proposal in Washington or Idaho. CREM 2 reached out to the current candidates for the school board. This is what some of them had to say on the matter. Nikki Lockwood said, if there is evidence-based research to show adolescents should have a later start time for improved success, we should review that and make decisions that work best for our community. I would want our district to be leaders in best practices for student success, unquote. Katie Tallure stated, quote, as a teacher and a mother, I understand the importance of sleep and how that directly impacts a child's day at school. Our middle schools currently start at 9 a.m., which aligns with research by the American Academy of Pediatrics. Later start times increase academic success, reduce anxiety, and lead to healthier children. As a candidate who is committed to putting our kids first, this is something that I would like to research further. It would be a decision driven by best practices, community input, and teacher feedback. Aaron Georgian said, quote, I would be open to pushing high school start times to 8:30 if parents are concerned about the 8 o'clock start times. This is not an issue that voters have voiced significant concerns over at this point.
On October 12th, which ironically, people closer to my age will remember this, it was formerly known as Columbus Day before we started celebrating these holidays on a Monday. And it was a day which commemorated the discovery of the Americas. But on this October 12th, a local indigenous peoples group brought an event to the South Hill branch of the Spokane Library to share their culture through native dance with the culturally curious of Spokane. Here is my report. The drum you heard was for the dancers to keep time. This was the Saturday before Indigenous Peoples Day, formerly known as Columbus Day. Here, an enthusiastic group of about 30 came to the South Hill Spokane Library to not only hear and see, but to participate in the culture of an Indigenous dance group known as Danza Machica Spokane. The Spokane folks were ready to go either to participate or just to watch as the troupe led the people, first with instruction, then with practice, and a final performance. I spoke to Jessica Ochoa, who explained what was going on.
Yeah, so it's called Danza Machica Spokane. Our name is Mito Pigisti Spokane. And we're here, we're open to the community. We're here for kind of holding space for folks that want to understand our culture, our roots, our ancestors, and how we coexisted with our nature, our cosmos, and kind of spreading our cosmo vision.
The experience was as exhilarating as it could be for a meeting room of a library, as the energy of the dance group was amplified by the enthusiasm of a willing crowd. Okay, Jared, looks like you were having a good time participating with this group today. What was it like for you?
Invigorating. A lot of fun. I mean, you know, it's definitely something different.
If you're interested and want to learn more or participate yourself, you can find them on Facebook, Danza Mexica, that's DanzaMexica. This is Tom Topping for KYRS Local News.
This next piece that I wrote was just a highlight reviewing the recent events for Reforest Spokane. Around 400 volunteers participated in this event, and I'm just going over the recent locations that were addressed. Lands Council organizers paired with Avista to collaborate for the 8th Reforest Spokane Day that took place on October 12th. The original goal was to plant around 3,000 plants and 250 trees at two selected sites in 3 hours. The outcome of attendance was highly well received, with around 400 volunteers present for the event. According to a recent press release by the Spokesman Review, City Council passed an ordinance in the spring to cover 30% of Spokane in tree canopy by around 2030, with more than 89,000 trees within city limits. The current canopy estimate is around 23%. Chelsea Updegrove, Lands Council Development Director and Urban Canopy Coordinator, said, quote, "Studies have shown that planting trees can mitigate polluted stormwater reaching the river, make shade to reduce temperatures in the urban core, and create animal habitats. Plus, trees can change our landscape so we can have a more beautiful downtown," unquote. The event's recent plant sites are located at the southeast corner of First Avenue and Washington Street, where reports of Avista crew members installing a rock retaining wall and landscapers plotting spots for new growth, including pines and numerous native plants. Across town, more volunteers planted around 250 more pine trees along the Centennial Trail. Among volunteers were many local high school students. Brenna Hong, a student at LC and longtime volunteer for the Lands Council, said, quote, "Climate is really important. I just want to do what I can to help, and I really enjoy working outdoors," unquote.
Spokane Fuse, the local chapter of a statewide progressive political organization, is going all in to try and stop Nadine Woodward from being elected as the next mayor of Spokane. They say she's been trying to conceal her right-wing political views from Spokane voters. Here's the report. This week, as the ballots for next month's election appear in Spokane area mailboxes, questions remain regarding some candidates. Mayoral candidate Nadine Woodward has tried to avoid answering questions about her political views, and with good reason, as the majority of Spokane voted against Congressperson McMorris Rogers in 2016, and the support that she does have is not coming from Democratic or progressive organizations or their members. In an email from Jim Dawson of Fuse, Washington, he wrote, "She has been the least transparent candidate running for mayor, from skipping 6 of the last 13 candidate forums, to refusing to be interviewed by reporters, to misleading voters about her views on the Border Patrol." He attached this recording from a July 19th Rotary Club meeting where she told the club right-wing views would make it harder to win the election for Spokane mayor.
"I have worked extremely hard to keep partisanship and party out of this race. I know full well that someone who is right of center is going to have a hard race in the city election for mayor."
In another recording linked to the Fuse email, a Trump supporter tries to pin her down about whom she voted for.
"I have no problem with telling people I support Trump, so, you know, that's important to me, you know. And I'm just being honest with you about it.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
and
I wanted to keep that.
Give you an answer.
I did not vote for Hillary. Is that good enough?
Dawson concludes his message with, "As a public personality with no experience on public boards, commissions, or elected office, she has no public voting record that voters can examine, making how she voted in past elections even more important." This is Tom Topping for KYRS Local News.
And we are still collecting ideas from our listeners for our Spokane Gems project. If you know of a cool place, a forgotten but intriguing story about Spokane or the region, or a quirky bit of history, send it to us. Send us the idea, news@kyrs.org, for a chance to share it with listeners. And I did a couple of these already. One was about the Republic Washington racetrack, and also about the historic Stockyards Inn, which is right near the border between Spokane and the Valley.
KYRS exists because of the support of the public. We thank you for giving a little back with sustaining monthly support to continue independent music. Local interest and progressive news programming that is refreshing, engaging, and helps expand perspectives. Just text GIVE KYRS to 44321 and rest assured that you have helped keep KYRS alive and on the air.
Okay, well, the Spokane Valley Fire District has about 200 employees and provides firefighting and rescue services to Spokane Valley, Millwood, and other communities in the adjacent surrounding areas. Today, we're joined by two candidates that seek to fill two of the positions on that fire commission that oversees their organization. Mike Kester, Bradley Mertens, welcome to KYRS.
Thank you, Tom. It's glad to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. So I just threw off a few questions here just to get us started here. So can you tell us some basic facts about the Spokane Valley Fire Department?
Well, the Spokane Valley Fire Department has got five commissioners that run the commission, and it takes their oversee the chief. They handle all of the business end of it. They handle appropriation for the monies that go out as far as buying equipment and purchasing new things. They approve things like some of the bonds and stuff. They'll make motions on that, and we'll vote on things like that. And they oversee the 10 stations that are out there.
10 stations.
There's 10 stations. They're building an 11th one coming up here pretty quick, I believe. We're going to have 11 stations.
Okay. Well, besides fighting fires, what's your understanding of all they do out there?
So their biggest call volume is EMS calls. They do have ALS services at most of their stations. There's a few
ALS?
ALS, so advanced life support.
Okay.
So fire engines have either paramedics or EMTs. Some of their engines and rescues have paramedics. Some of them just have EMTs. And what that means is essentially they're a hospital. So they have the skills required to save people's lives and give them medications, even if they aren't in a cardiac arrest, but also, too, if they are kind of what we call circling the drain. You know, they have an issue where it's pretty serious waiting for the ambulance service of AMR to show up. They have the skills and the equipment for that. They also have automatic aid agreements with the District 8, which is south of them. Actually, they have an automatic aid agreement, which means that whatever fire engine is closest to that emergency, that fire engine will go. It doesn't necessarily mean that the valley will go. Sometimes it's a District 8, sometimes it's the city, sometimes it's District 9. And even they have an automatic aid agreement with Kootenai County. So the state lines no longer really exist.
Wow, are you a firefighter?
I am a firefighter, actually.
Okay, so you really
know I do know about this a little bit. Yes, yes. So,
well, I was looking on their website, and they have other community programs as well. Are you familiar with those? They have different educational programs for the community and stuff. Can you say anything about how they're doing with those?
Yeah, right now the firefighters go out and they put smoke alarms in houses, and they'll do things like this. That's all part of the program that the firefighters are doing. They'll have open houses where they show people how the equipment works, what makes it work, and why it works. A lot of community things that they like to do.
And right now it's Fire Prevention Month, so they'll do a lot of. Oh
yeah.
They'll do, sorry. They'll do a lot of like education at grade schools, and then they'll also talk about smoke alarms in houses. And another big push they're pushing right now is before you go to sleep, close your doors. They're starting to say that these having closed doors actually decreases the spread of fire.
That's so, just important educational work that they're doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I see that Washington state law really sets what the mandate, what the work of a fire commission does. So what is the responsibility of a fire commission?
Fire commissioner responsibility is he's oversees, are the five of them, oversee the amount where the money goes appropriated to different things. They oversee the funding for the firefighters for their wages. It oversees pension plans. It oversees retirement plans, health plans. They all of their budget is allocated into certain things.
How much money are we talking about?
Well, after I looked at the last one, it looked to me like it's going to be up to almost $49,000, $49 million come 2022, and it's been gradually increasing over time to go along with the cost of living, wages, and all the, you know, cost of doing business, of course.
And
goes
the population
up.
Is growing in that area,
it
too,
is
isn't
big
it?
Time, yes.
Absolutely. And a lot of that is taxpayer based. So the property taxes come from that. They just approved, the citizens did a M&O. So what that allows them to do is operate their budget for the fire department. Because right now they don't necessarily do a lot of bonds. It's more of the M&O and what they call just
M&O?
Maintenance and operations levy.
Okay.
So that just, like I said, keeps it going with the. And they also have the standard across the board that every fire district has is $1.50. And what that does, it actually helps, you know, keep the fire district alive. But with the state taxes and how that works with the property taxes can't go up more than 1%. So those numbers actually have to come down. So I think their value might be like right around like $1.20 instead of $1.50. So the M&O kind of gets set back up, you know, as a
$1.20 per thousand.
Per thousand, that is correct.
Assessed value.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, great. Well, you know, when I had a heart attack 2 years ago, I live in Millwood, you know, I have to say, I thought they did pretty good.
Ha, absolutely.
But just going there, our fire department of Spokane Valley is one of the best in the state. They've, you know, as far as their classification, where they're rated on their insurance ratings, they're right up there in the very top. So that says that they really do a good job. We want to keep it that way.
Well, that being said, what changes do you foresee? What's needed? What do they need?
I see right now is the biggest problem that there's going on within the department is lack of communication. We have firefighters who really do not communicate with their top and their commissioners and their chiefs. It seems like we have a division between the two. And being from a labor background as I am, I think it's a good thing that we get in there because right now, as far as I'm concerned, there needs to be a lot more communication. The firefighter, remember, the firefighters are the guys that are on the front lines. They know better than anybody does what they need, how to operate business. And when you can't go to your superiors and voice your opinions on what's going on and how you feel about it, there's going to be something that's lacking in the fire department. I mean,
well, maybe we can just go back a second here because you mentioned your history of being involved in labor. And so do you want to tell us a little bit about what you've done there?
Well, I was a conductor on the railroad for 22 years before an injury and have been a member of the UTU for 30 years, the union. And I've seen a lot of things that have happened over the years that have made it me believe that unions are imperative. They really are. I can give you a quick example of it. 8 years ago, I was injured on the train, and I was in the hospital, and I just had steel plates put in my back. And at the same time, my wife had come down with breast cancer.
Oh.
And just, I'm not going to criticize the railroads, but because I was in litigation with them, they wanted to take our insurance away from her. And that way, she would not have health insurance while she was in the hospital going through cancer. And if anybody out there knows what it costs to go through cancer treatment, we'd have been broke. That would have done us in. But the railroad, but the union and my council came to bat, went to the company and said, you will not do that. And they didn't. They backed down. My wife got her treatments, and now I'm happy to say she's cancer-free 8 years later. And I thank the unions more than you'll ever know because they stepped up and went to bat for me. Yeah, my wife wouldn't be here had they not done that.
Well, now he's talked a little bit about his past experience that he's going to bring to this if he gets elected. What about you, Bradley?
So I was born and raised in the Valley.
Well, just let me take a second here. We're interviewing Mike Kester and Bradley Mertens, candidates for Spokane Valley Fire Department, Fire Commission, excuse me.
That's correct. Yeah, so like I was saying, I was born and raised in the Valley, married my high school sweetheart, moved about the country. So I have 16 years of fire and EMS experience. About 3.5 years ago, I was lucky enough to get a full-time job with District 8, which is south of the Valley. And then I was approached, you know, we worked with the Auto Aid and talking with a lot of those guys. And I was approached by our local union representative saying that we needed somebody that would have the ability to have a communication. Like Mike said, there's a lack of communication with the between not just the union, but just the firefighters in general, the battalion chiefs and admin and the commissioners. There's kind of the stance right now that you can't talk with your commissioners on the Valley, which is not necessarily a law. It's kind of frowned upon by the administration. So that needs to be changed. The biggest example is administration with the approval of the commissioners, because the commissioners are the ones that approve any kind of spending. Sued and lost twice, the firefighters and the battalion chiefs. One, the firefighter had a freedom of speech thing, went to Supreme Court, lost.
Yeah, I was just seeing something about religious emails.
Sure. So what? From my understanding, I don't know the whole story, but from my understanding, he was trying to start a support group. The IFF, the International Association of Firefighters, are actually starting to see that the PTSD or I in firefighters is pretty serious, so they're trying to get a peer support
PTSI?
Group.
PTSI?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the I stands for. I know the post-traumatic stress disorder, just because of the stuff that we've seen have gone through on the scene. So they're trying to get a peer support. That was kind of his message, too, that I think he was trying to start. Like I said, I don't know the whole deals. Details, but they went to the state Supreme Court. The department lost that. And then they also went to mediation, not trying to pay the battalion chiefs their overtime, and they lost that also. So my question is, you know, what kind of legal advice are they getting, and why are we spending, you know, because I know what the unions paid to protect themselves. What are the districts paying to sue these people?
Is it your understanding that the fire commissioners would have an impact on those subjects like that?
Absolutely. So any large funding that needs to be happened comes through the commissioners. So if the battalion or if the chief wants to go in there, hey, what do you think? I want to build the station. Here's the statistics. What do you think? Okay. And then they have to do a vote, say, yes, we would authorize you to pay the use of taxpayers' money to build that station or buy that fire truck, or, you know, they just got new turnouts. So that's, you know, they ask them. So, but the chief also asks, hey, I want to sue these guys. What do you think? Yes, we want you to sue them. And then
that's a big waste of money.
Absolutely.
Once it gets into that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I noticed that two of the current members were appointed and not elected. Do they have like a high turnover or something? Or what do you have any idea about that?
So sometimes commissioners, a lot of these are 6-year terms, and they might come up with something, maybe not say something correctly, or they just like, hey, this is not for me. You know, in 6 years, a lot of stuff can happen. Life, you know,
sure.
If it's a 2-year term, like, okay, I can do 2 years, but 6 years. So a lot of people are, you know, they might say, hey, I'm going to vacate this seat. And then the commissioners themselves will actually appoint somebody to that position instead of having to go through a special election. So they'll appoint somebody, you know, somebody that's involved with the, like I said, I think Commissioner Birch was involved with the fire volunteer side, where they did a lot of kind of the public service. So he was around. They saw his name, saw him. So that's how he was appointed. I'm not sure who the other person was.
Okay, well, we got just a couple minutes left here. So I just want to ask you both, what's your primary goal if you're elected for Spokane Valley Fire? And what's your pitch for voters to vote for you?
Well, Tom, the first thing for me is being on the railroad as I was, I understand some of the hazardous materials that comes through the Spokane Valley. And believe me, there's some really nasty stuff. And I believe that our firefighters, for one, safety-wise, have to have the equipment and the supplies they need in order to handle something like that. And being from my past experience, I'm not going to tell you that if there's a derailment, it's when there's a derailment. Trains historically go on the ground. It happens, and it will happen here eventually. The second thing is, like we talked about, the fiscal management, taking care of that and making sure that this money isn't wasted, because I live in the Valley. I'm on a fixed income, and I can't afford these botches, so let's just clean things up a little bit.
All right. Great points, Mike. Bradley?
Like Mike said, the biggest thing was improving our communication, having, you know, having discussions with, you know, the labor side and management. You know, obviously management is there to run a department and, you know, understand that. And I would ask the tough questions, like, you know, you don't go to somebody and you're like, hey, just sell me, you know, sell me a widget and I'm just going to take your word for it. You know, have a little bit of communication and see how that's going to affect the line guys, but also
so
too.
So you just knocked on the door of a little lady that's lived in the Valley for many years. And what are you going to say to her to get her vote?
So I'm going to say, hey, I am a local firefighter. The firefighters support me, and I will be a very large advocate to make sure that your tax money is used correctly and with providing the best service possible and ensuring, too, that our firefighters are going to be safe at all times.
Amen.
Mike Kester, Bradley Mertens, thank you for your time today. I appreciate the interview. That was great.
Thank you so much for this, Tom.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to KYRS Local News. Make sure to catch our daily morning broadcast at 8 a.m. And tune in next week for a recap of the week, Friday afternoons at 4:30. You can also listen online at kyrs.org or at kyrslocalnews.podbean.com. KYRS Local News receives support from Atticus Coffee and Gibbs, 222 North Howard Street in downtown Spokane, near the carousel, and just down the block from the upper store, Boo Radley's.
And thanks for listening. Join us next Friday for KYRS Local News, live at 4:30. And just a couple really quick things is the Morningstar Church had those white supremacist flyers put around there. So many of the progressives in the Valley and Spokane are going to show up for their service on Sunday to support them. So that'd be worthwhile. And don't forget, if the vote is coming up and you haven't registered yet, you still have time to register to vote. And you can even do it in person on Election Day if you go to the elections office on Gardner and Monroe. Have a great week and get ready for the snow. It's coming.